My name's Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and their House of the Mouse. So if you too just love Frozen so much you can't let it go, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe the Disney novice, the fan who's currently thinking about or planning your first trip to Walt Disney World and you don't know the difference between Pluto and Goofy. Well, this really is the podcast for you. Every week, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories of magical times. And this week, Leo has just got back from Orlando.
And the second she walked off that ride, she said that is the best ride she's ever been on.
More with Leo's experiences on this week's podcast, as well as answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting the latest news from the parks, and everything you need to know if you're about to head over to Orlando. Make sure you keep in touch. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, we are at PodMagical. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. Don't forget, you can send your questions over Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We answer your questions every week. Naomi wants to know what it is like trying to get fast passes 30 days out, not staying on a Walt Disney World resort. So I haven't got the 60-day window, only got the 30-day window. Shall I manage my expectations here? What am I likely to get, not likely to get? Is it like getting Glastonbury tickets, but less stressy? Well, I've never tried to get Glastonbury tickets, but I can kind of assume. Do you know what? It's very hit and miss. Sometimes when you've got your 60-day window earlier on the trip, there's things like Slinky Dog that you can't get. So 30 days out, it's a lot tougher. There'll still be great things you can get, though. And don't forget, once you are in the parks, even on the day, you can still switch your fast passes. Keep checking for things like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and Slinky Dog and Flight of Passage, because even on the day, they might come up. I think I've pretty much done every one of the hard-to-get attractions by getting a fast pass on the day. I've done it like two or three times. So just keep refreshing. Make sure you've got all your fast passes, because it's always easier to modify where you're in the park rather than just looking for a new one. So yeah, manage your expectations. You might not get what you want, and it's always worth trying to get those harder ones towards the end of your holiday. And when you are getting your fast passes, by the way, don't go, okay, let's start. Here we go, day one. Here's what fast passes you want to get. Start by going, all right, we want to do Slinky Dog on this day. Let's see if we can get that. As soon as your fast pass window opens, go for the hard ones first. Don't go in order of your day. Hope that helps. I've also had a couple of questions from people asking, what do you think it's going to be like and how busy will it be for the 50th anniversary? Well, we don't actually know much about when the 50th anniversary celebrations are going to start. 1st of October next year will be the actual date, the actual 50th anniversary date. That day will be crazy in the Magic Kingdom. I can guarantee that. And I have a feeling that the 50th anniversary celebrations will probably start around that time and then we'll go on through the whole of 2022. I'm expecting a good year and a half of 50th anniversary celebrations, but nothing's been announced so far. We don't know times, whether there's going to be new parades or fireworks. So we don't know a lot about it. Yes, it will be busy because, you know, if you've listened to this podcast since it started, pretty much everybody that we speak to, I'll say, if you've got another trip planned, they'll go, yeah, for the 50th anniversary. I think that's what everybody is thinking. So it is going to be a busy time because that's when people want to go. People have not been for a few years because they're waiting for this moment. But as now, we don't know the actual dates. But as soon as we do, we'll let you know if there's anything announced right here on the podcast. So make sure you keep in touch. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook as well. We are at PodMagical. That's the same place to go if you love talking about Walt Disney World. If you love talking about Walt Disney World, it's probably why you listen to this podcast, but you should come on for a bit of a chat, like this week's guest, Leo, who's literally just got back.
That's absolutely right, yeah. Yeah, literally got back on the 8th of Jan.
Tell me about the entire trip, because where did you go first?
My mum runs a dance school, and I was quite fortunate enough to bag a trip. They performed out in Disneyland Paris, so the trip started on the 20th of December, and we took a coach journey with all of the dancers and the performers and their families to Disneyland Paris. Right. And we were there, we went around the parks, obviously the all the girls and the lads performed and did their dance, and then we actually drove back on the 23rd. So the window between us getting back home and then ready for our flight on Christmas Eve on the 24th was quite short, and there was a couple of moments when the traffic was bad that we were a bit hesitant of actually making our flight on the 24th. But
we flew out to Florida on Christmas Eve.
We flew early morning on Christmas Eve it was.
So Christmas at Walt Disney World, what's it like?
Fantastic. So we've been, I think this was our 8th trip. I'm 21 and I think, yeah, this was my 8th trip with the family. And we've only ever done one trip where we didn't go at Christmas. So for me, I'm a little bit biased towards Christmas time. Also really lucky of being able to go at Christmas time. I think for me personally, having done that one experience in 2016 when we didn't go at Christmas, I do prefer it. I think the atmosphere, especially if you can get there for Christmas Day as well, it's just unlike anything I've seen. The parades, the decorations, and the way all the staff are and everybody else is just in that joyful mood. Everyone is collectively feels Christmassy. It's really magical. It really, really does add to the magic.
So how did you spend Christmas Day then?
It's got to be Magic Kingdom. Obviously, that was our first day of the trip as well. Staying on English time, we were up at stupid o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, like 5 o'clock.
Yeah, literally, we were like the first people in the line. I think we were in the first 30 or 40 people into the park.
Right. And did it open at like 6 o'clock on Christmas Day?
It opened at 6 o'clock, and then they started letting people in at about 10 to 6 that morning, just because of, I'm assuming they were projecting for numbers that were going to be coming in that day.
Yeah.
The buses didn't start till a little bit later, and because we were up and ready, we actually took an Uber, which was a bit of a lifesaver. We usually get a car, but we calculated that using Uber and Lyft was much, much cheaper this time than actually getting transport. So Uber to Magic Kingdom, and then spent the day in Magic Kingdom, obviously getting a pastry at the bakery on Main Street for breakfast. May or may not have gone to Gaston's a little bit a time after that as well, but
yeah, it's Disney and Christmas, you have as much sugar as you
exactly,
want.
Exactly. So
as
yeah,
much
it was
sugar as you can.
Yeah, so it was just Magic Kingdom really. Obviously all the small the smaller rides, things like Small World, Peter Pan, Winnie the Pooh, and of course Seven Dwarfs Mine Train about six times, because that's one of my most favourite.
On Christmas Day?
I think it was more like four times, but it was brilliant. It's one of our favourite rides as a family, especially the edited video that you get sent afterwards on the photo pass.
Yeah.
It's just brilliant. We absolutely love it.
So how long did you manage to last on Christmas Day, being that before the park opens at six?
I think we made it to about maybe 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then we just thought, we need to go back now. And we slept for a couple of hours, and then obviously went back out. We didn't go back to Magic Kingdom that night. The sleep in the afternoon is a ritual for most people coming from England over to the States for Disney. So went back, had a sleep and a bit of a swim and freshened up, and then we went to Epcot that night because it was right next to our hotel. We were staying in the Swan and Dolphin. Yeah, it's like a 2-3 minute walk, so it was fantastic.
Well, let's find out why you love Walt Disney World then.
I think the feeling of magic, and it's quite cliche, obviously the most magical place on earth, but it's that not wanting to leave, and I do feel like I could be there for a month, 2 months straight and still see something different every day and not want to leave. And that's the feeling of just pure, it's just pure magic, you know. All of the cast members and the staff members are so friendly, and it's so immersive, and it just makes you not want to leave. And when you come home, it gives you the worst holiday blues in the world, which I've been suffering.
Oh, you probably still got them now.
Oh, it's
like months later.
I'm just emotional all the time.
So how old were you the first time you went?
I was born in 98. As far as I'm aware, it was 99 that we went for Christmas, and obviously over into the millennium. There are some pictures that I need to find out, actually, of myself and my parents standing outside the golf ball in Epcot with the 2000 sign over it, which was just, it's a brilliant photograph. And it actually stayed there for a couple of years after, because I think we went again in 2003 or 4, I think, and it was still there. All of the Millennium decorations were still up in the parks, which was fantastic. So yeah, 99 was the first year I went.
We need to get that picture up.
I'll have to find it.
Dig that one out. So of all the times you've been, have you got a particularly favourite memory, the one thing that sticks in your mind?
I kind of already alluded to it already, but I think walking down Main Street on that first day, and particularly recently now they've got the magic bands, and hearing that chime of the magic band and being let into the park, it just pumps you full of adrenaline and real magic. And obviously the smells that they pump into the streets and the bakery that you can see, and just going around that corner ever so slightly and then seeing the castle still lit up because it's so early in the morning, it's just perfect. And I really can't think of many memories in my life that are as magical as that one.
So this time you stayed at Swan and Dolphin. Is that your favourite Walt Disney World hotel, or do you prefer to stay off property sometimes?
We've never stayed off property. And we've stayed in Swan and Dolphin once before upon recommendation of my auntie, who's also an avid Disney goer. I think one of the main reasons we picked it this time is because we're a family of five, and not many hotels accommodate for a family of five in one room. So that kind of limits us. Previously, we've stayed in Yacht and Beach Club, which is that's our favourite hotel. Swan and Dolphin is fantastic. It's ever so slightly more out of the way, and not as Disney-fied, shall we say. It's perfectly themed and all of the facilities are fantastic, like the restaurants are really nice. But I personally feel it's a little bit more adult-based. It's more bars and restaurants and things like that, as opposed to perhaps, you know, the pools and the more Disney-type restaurants, if that makes sense. But yeah, so that's where we stayed this time.
Isn't it slightly different? Because even though it's in Walt Disney World, Swan and Dolphin is not quite a Disney hotel.
I think it's owned by... Is it the Marriott Group? I think it's owned
right,
by.
Yeah.
That being said, you still get all of the Disney soaps, so that's brilliant when you come home. You still get all the things like that, and you've got access to the Disney mugs and things like that. But it's only in sort of certain restaurants. I don't think in those two hotels they've got any of the Dining Planet accessible restaurants, which some of the hotels do have.
Right, but you still get your Magic Band and everything like that?
No, you don't get your Magic Band, unfortunately. It's stuck to the paper ones. However, you can obviously purchase a Magic Band within the parks and then download everything onto the Magic Band. We didn't do that this time. Planning to take our old ones, but we just forgot. I don't know if that would have worked, but we were going to try it and just take our ones from the other year and see if we could use those Magic Bands as...
Yeah, you still can. If you look on your Magic Experience, it'll have a list of all your old Magic Bands and you go, I've really been that many times.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so it tells you which ones are working or not. So obviously last time you went, being January, the brand new Star Wars Rise of the Resistance has opened, because you're the first person on the podcast that has been on the ride.
I'm honoured.
Tell me about, well, first up, getting on the ride. Because that in itself is a bit of a challenge.
It was about day 4 or 5 when we first went to Hollywood Studios to get on the ride. We were in the park. They opened the gates for the park and they cordoned it off, probably only 100 metres actually, in down towards the crossroads in Hollywood Studios. They keep everybody all confined in this big area. It's hectic. And they opened that at about, I think it was about 5:30 in the morning. So they let everybody in and... Everybody's got their apps out, the Disney Magic app. Everybody is on it. Everybody's on their phones trying to get a... it's called a boarding group, so you're all on the app. And the second the clock turns to 6 o'clock, basically Disney give X amount of spots to people and they give people boarding times, basically, for the day. So some people who have day tickets to the park will literally be waiting until 7 o'clock of an evening to get on with their boarding group. And even then, just because of the sheer numbers in the park, they may not get on their space. So we were fortunate. I think it was like boarding group 27 or something like that. So we had a couple of hours to kill, which was quite nice. But it was horrendous. I've never seen anything like it, especially in Disney. It was controlled chaos, but it was really stressful. Everybody was fighting for a spot to get on the ride.
I'd be like in blind panic. As soon as the clock hits the time of the opening of the park, I'd be like, gotta be on it. So well, what time did you actually get on if you were boarding group? Did you say 26?
I think it was just before midday we actually managed to get on. You could go to the Galaxy's Edge area, you can get through and you can walk around, but doing it in a sort of a one go, knowing that you've got your boarding time, the ride Rise of the Resistance is actually on your left as you come into Galaxy's Edge, so it's like it makes sense to go when your boarding time is and not just be sort of hanging around and waiting. It's like stepping into another world for Disney. They've really, really pushed the boat out with this one. It's fantastic.
Well, I want to find out, now you've been on it, whether it is your favourite ride at Walt Disney World or whether something else is still the best. So hang on there, we'll get the latest news and then we'll be back with Leo. Latest news from Walt Disney World, there has been a price increase for annual passes. If you're somebody who goes quite a lot, then it's probably worth getting an annual pass. The most expensive is the Disney Platinum Plus Pass, which has gone up from $1,219 a year to $1,295 a year. The regular Platinum Pass, $1,119, has gone up to $1,195, and then some others, the Gold and the Silver, they've gone up about $20 each. Also, as well, if you're a fan of Star Wars, the Star Wars A Galaxy Far, Far Away stage show, which is one that is right in the middle of Hollywood Studios, that is going to be ending on the 22nd of February. But to be honest, there's a lot of Star Wars things now at Hollywood Studios. I don't really think they need it. Plus, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Train is going to be opening a few weeks after that, so that beautiful entrance we'll be able to see just as you walk down the street into Hollywood Studios. Disney have released the new logo for Harmonious, which is the new nighttime spectacular at Epcot. They have also said that Harmonious is going to be one of the largest nighttime spectaculars ever created for a Disney park, and that will debut later on this year. Also, there's been a change in Fastpass since last week's podcast at Hollywood Studios. You know, we've got the Tier 1 and the Tier 2. You have one from Tier 1, and you have two from Tier 2 when you're making your initial Fastpasses for the day. Tier 1 at Hollywood Studios used to be Slinky Dog and Millennium Falcon. Well, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Train has now been added to that. So you've got three to choose from now in your top tier. If you want to do Rise of the Resistance, that will still require you to get a boarding pass. You'll need to get there early in the park, as we were just talking about with Leo. Don't forget, you can keep up with all the latest news from Walt Disney World, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We are at Pod Magical. And back to Leo. See, I want to ask you so much about it, but
go,
I don't want to do too many spoilers.
Fire away.
That's it. Was there a particular favourite bit that blew you away? Because people say, no, it's just there's nothing like it.
A lot of people who have been Disney fans for years and years were a little bit sceptical. I'm not really a fan of Star Wars, or, you know, I don't really know anything about it. Am I going to like it? Has Disney, you know, a lot of people have said, oh, Disney's ruined Star Wars and all that. Now, my mum is not a Star Wars fan. If anything, she's the most uninterested person in Star Wars in the entire world. And the second she walked off that ride, she said that is the best ride she's ever been on. And so, I don't even know what the word is. It was almost like an emotional feeling of just coming off like, that is incredible. Like, it's so good and immersive. Again, that's probably one of the most important things for people to look at, is be immersive with the cast members. They are all in character, and I'm assuming the people that they've put in these jobs are born to do it, because it is amazing. And I can't even give any more words without giving away what the place is like and what the ride is like and the little nooks and crannies that you'll see. But
because it takes on a story, doesn't it? There's different parts to it.
A lot of the rides now, like things like Haunted Mansion, have got interactive queues. This is an interactive queue on steroids. There's so many pieces to the ride before you even get on the ride. Obviously, you get in the queue, but you don't feel like you're waiting, because there's so much to be looking at and so much is going on. You know, so Star Wars fans, there's stormtroopers everywhere. They come up to you and talk to you, and if you mess with the buttons that are on the side of the walls and in the queues and things like that, they'll tell you off and they'll take you away, and they will literally walk you away from the queue. My little brother was messing, and they said, look, we're going to take this guy to quarantine and question him, and then we were reunited with him about 5 minutes later after they'd taken him off. Almost felt real.
So then when they called your boarding group and you went to the attraction, how long was it from you getting in the start of the queue to actually being on the ride?
You get your boarding group, and everybody's like, you scan your magic band or your tickets to get on, and between there and coming off the ride, it's about a 45 minute it's about 45 minutes to get through the whole thing. That's including the queues and obviously then going onto the ride and becoming part of the story, because that's what it is. It's not a case of you get buckled in and things like that. Even the safety video that comes up, the staff are almost rescuing you from that particular part of what's happening, and the safety video is so well hidden in the Star Wars talk as it is, that you don't even know really what's going on. It's just incredible that they do it so well. It's very, very smooth. So it's about 45 minutes.
So now you've been on that, is that your favorite ride at Walt Disney World?
Now, I thought you might ask this. It's up there, because my favourite ride was the Flight of Passage in Pandora, personally. As much as I'm a massive Star Wars fan, I think for me, Pandora was just amazing. It was breathtaking. I couldn't compare the two, unfortunately. As much as I love Rise of the Resistance and it is phenomenal, I think for me personally, Flight of Passage just took the biscuit a little bit more.
Still Flight of Passage number one. Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, and I think that's quite an unpopular opinion, actually. I think I'm in a little bit of a minority, I'm not sure. But
not a lot of people say Flight of Passage. There's been one or two that said Flight of Passage, but most people just say Tower of Terror.
Interesting
that it's not the new Star Wars ride. Is there anything else that you really love? Is there any particular parades or shows that are up there on your list of what you like?
Again, we've been there at Christmas so many times that once upon a Christmas time parade, just because it's just themed perfectly, it's really happy. And if you can get to watch it just before Christmas, it just gets you ready for that big day on the 25th. Other shows, Fantasmic, it's timeless. It doesn't seem to age. Obviously, it's been around for the best part of 20 years now. And every single time you're still gripping your seat, obviously seeing Mickey at the top of the mountain with the sparks coming out of his fingers. It's just brilliant every single time. It never, ever gets old.
And what about favourite restaurants? Any favourite places to eat?
So this time we didn't use the dining plan. We've used it before in the past, but this time we didn't. And we just sort of budgeted ourselves.
Yeah.
2 years ago, we went to Disney and we did use the dining plan, and our favourite place was actually one of the counter service, which is the Lotus Blossom in China. That for us,
the Szechuan chicken and the orange chicken was a particular favourite of our family. And then our other favourite place to eat was Blaze in downtown Disney, the pizza place.
Pizza place, yeah.
It's so popular and the value for money is incredible. The menu is so constructive. You can literally pick anything that you want on there and it's just delicious. And we went two or three times just because we loved it so much. We couldn't believe the price as well, especially for Disney's typically quite expensive if you're not on the dining plan. But that place was fantastic. So Blaze in downtown Disney.
Anything else you like to do outside Disney? Any of the other theme parks you like to go to?
We've done Universal a couple of times. And a few years ago, we did do Discovery Cove, which was quite good. Swimming with the dolphins and things like that. Obviously, there's a lot of stigma with things like SeaWorld and places like that, so we've not been since. However, Universal's fantastic. We're really big Harry Potter fans, so going to Islands of Adventure is one of our favourites. Other than that, really, we've not really left the confines of those two areas. We've pretty much just stayed there.
Stick to the parks.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you get on Hagrid this time, Ryan?
We didn't go to Universal this time. We've been... The last time we went to Disney was the last time we went to Island of Adventure. We were going to go this year. We received two free tickets and we did consider getting obviously three more for the rest of the family to go. But we decided against it this time and just decided to smash the Disney parks. Obviously, with all the new attractions, it just made sense.
Any top tips?
Stay on English time as much as you can, or stay on whichever time suits you from wherever you're coming from to Disney. But for us, staying on English time for as long as we can in that first week and a half meant that you're up, you're ready, and you're at the parks pretty much before anybody else, or at least in that first wave of people.
Yeah.
And it's so good because you can be back in the hotel by 12 o'clock, you know, just relaxing, out of the way of the main rush, and you've absolutely blitzed it. You can done at least, I mean, I think we were averaging between 5 and 10 rides by 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon most days, and that was just, we couldn't believe how well we did on the first week when we went this time around. So yeah, stay on English time for as long as you can. Brilliant.
Any more trips planned? Obviously, you've just come back. Are you thinking about going again soon?
I'd like to go as soon as possible, personally. Every time we go, the family goes, oh, this is the last one. Make sure you enjoy it. This is the last one. But somehow, we always end up seeing some sort of deal or cheap flights to Orlando, and we end up going again. As of yet, there's not one booked, but I would like to get over there again, whether it's on my own or with some mates. I'm trying to drag my mates over there this time round and do a bit of a lads holiday type thing. We're going to try and see if we can get that ball rolling.
Now you're 21, drinking around the world.
I tell you something, that was probably one of the most insane experiences I ever had in my life, was drinking around the world.
Oh, so you did drinking around the world this time?
On New Year's Eve, it was incredible. I've never experienced that before in Disney, but it was incredible.
Now, Epcot at New Year's Eve, I've only seen videos, but it looks insane.
Now, we've been at Christmas, so that's New Year's as well, pretty much every time that we've been. And this was probably one of the quietest times we've been. And I don't know if that's because of the attractions in the other parks that have drawn people elsewhere, or the fact that Reflections is no longer playing. That being said, the new show at Epcot, the names escape me briefly, but it doesn't...
Epcot Forever.
Epcot Forever, that's it, yeah. It definitely does the park justice, and for a New Year's Eve celebration, was fantastic. And it just wasn't as busy as previous years, and I'm not sure what it was that time around. Like I said, I think it might have been the Reflections, perhaps, I'm not sure, but it was nowhere near as busy as the years before. That being said, it was amazing. The DJs that they have, the second midnight starts, each country has a DJ representing, and of course all of their staff within each of the countries are going absolutely mental. So it's just fantastic. It's brilliant.
It's on my list. New Year's Eve at Epcot.
You've got to do it. It's a bucket list, that one.
Definitely. Leo, good to talk to you.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
And have a magical day.
Thank you very much.
And if you would like to be a guest on the podcast, then just give us a shout. Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, we are at PodMagical. And don't forget, if you are going over to Walt Disney World, tag us in your photographs. Tag and brag. Make everybody jealous. If you're going out over the next few days, the weather's getting really warm, actually. We're starting to approach the kind of high 20s, should be mostly dry. We're in for a busy few weeks as well. This week, the 17th of February, is American Holiday. It's President's Day on that day. So the whole of the week is probably be busy. And then, of course, we've got UK half-term holidays as well. So expect a busy time if you're going to Orlando over the next couple of weeks. Loads of stuff going on, including the Epcot Festival of the Arts, which continues. And also select Friday nights over at Magic Kingdom. If you can stay up late and you've got the extra dollar, they've got the Villains After Hours at Magic Kingdom. This is a hard-ticketed event. Lower crowds, and then you get the cavalcade with all the extra villains that have gone on, and then there's free Mickey bars and stuff like that for 3 hours. You only get 3 hours, 10 o'clock at night until 1 o'clock in the morning, and I think it's most Friday nights for the next few weeks. Also over at Universal, they've got the Mardi Gras as well, with some big names in entertainment performing, as well as the Mardi Gras celebrations and the parade and the food that's gone on over there as well. As I say, if you go in, let us know what it's like. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, tag us. We are at PodMagical. Andy's top tip of the week this week, I'd like to give you a little bit of a tip and a recommendation every week on the podcast. This is if you've got kids. This is quite good for you. Rider switch. So this is if you've got a little one, or maybe somebody who can't or doesn't want to go on the ride, don't feel like the rest of the party has to go without, you still can. So make sure at the start of every ride, ask the cast member whether they've got rider switch. If they have, you queue up as normal with your entire party. When you get to the front of the queue, one adult will go on the ride with the rest of the party who can ride, whilst another adult will stay behind with the rest of the party who can't. And then when adult number one has finished the ride with that party, then adult two, well, your rider switch, adult two, goes straight on. No going back to the back of the queue, not even the back of the Fastpass queue. You're literally straight on. And then the adult who did the ride stays behind you with whoever doesn't want to do it. And the good thing is sometimes, in fact, most of the time, if there's only one or two people, then people who've just done the ride, so say adult one comes off with a tall kid whilst adult two stays behind with the little kid who can't go on it. Well, quite often when adult two goes on, the tall kid who's just been on the ride with adult one can quite often go on again. Usually the cast members are quite good with that. So use rider switch. Don't be put off going, oh, we've got little kids, we've got a baby, I'd love to go on that ride, but I can't. You can't go on together, but you can rider switch so somebody can stay behind and look after the kids. It's like a little room they've got on the side. And then as soon as you've done the ride, the other one is straight on. If you've got any top tips of your own, let me know. Don't forget, we've got regular podcasts coming out every Friday. So make sure you hit that subscribe button if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Just hit that subscribe button, and then that podcast will be with you to wake up with every Friday morning. That little bit of magic in your ears. Also as well, we would love a 5-star review as well. We'd be really grateful of that if you could leave us a nice comment and let us know who you are and what your favourite rides are. Put it all in those comments there. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.